In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Church doesn't usually celebrate the birthday of saints. It celebrates the day of their death, because the end of our lives is more important than the beginning, and how we end our lives is more important. And it's also, if you're a believer, it's your birthday into the kingdom of heaven. Now, St. John the Baptist is actually an exception. There are two exceptions to this rule. We celebrate not only the birthday, but the day of the conceptions of the Virgin Mary and St. John the Baptist, because these two individuals are considered to be the holiest of the saints. St. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb, and so he was a great saint. But this was also Herod's birthday. But we don't celebrate today because of his birthday. He is only remembered as a very evil and weak man. The Herod that we hear about in the second gospel reading today is not the Herod that you hear about on Christmas. This was one of his sons. Herod the Great had five wives, quite a few children, several of which he had executed. And when he died, his kingdom was divided among the surviving sons by the Romans, because Herod was a vassal king to the Romans. And so all of these Jewish rulers that you hear about in the Gospels and the book of Acts were beholden to the Roman emperor. But Herod Antipas, the Herod we hear about today, was given the rule over Galilee, which was one of the most prosperous places in the Holy Land, but also Perea. Perea was the area that was on the east side of the Jordan River and the Dead Sea in present-day Jordan. It's somewhat difficult for us to keep track of all the relations in the family that Herod the Great spawned, because it was a family tree that didn't have a lot of branches. Herod Antipas was Herod's son. Herodias was actually his granddaughter. So Herodias was already related to Herod Antipas as being his niece. But he had a half-brother that Herodias married. So he married his niece. And Herod Antipas was actually married to the daughter of a Nabatean king. But while they were both in Rome, Herodias and Antipas, Antipas seduced Herodias, convinced her to divorce her husband, and promised to divorce his wife, and then they both did that. St. John the Baptist didn't say, "Well, who am I to judge?" He didn't say, "It's none of my business to comment on this evil thing." He didn't say love wins, as we in our culture are so happy to say in many cases. He said it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. He preached this to the people because it was a public scandal. It wasn't a private sin. And he wanted people to know that this wasn't right. And it didn't matter what Roman law said. It didn't matter what Antipas said the law was. It mattered what the law of God said. This, of course, didn't set well with Herodias. She resented anyone speaking the truth about her sin, and so she persuaded her husband to have St. John the Baptist arrested. She would have had him executed as well, but Herod, we're told, feared St. John the Baptist. He feared him knowing that he was a just and a holy man. And he probably also feared the people, because St. John was considered to be a prophet by the people. And so we have the strange spectacle of a king who's afraid of a man who is just a simple man who's in his prison cell and really shouldn't be any threat to him, but he was a great threat to him. But we're told that Herod would often go and he would visit St. John in prison, and that he heard him gladly. He would listen to what he had to say. He was drawn to what St. John the Baptist said and also to what St. John the Baptist represented. He was torn, because on the one hand, he didn't want to give up his sin. He had a passion for his unlawful wife, Herodias, but he knew that it wasn't right. And he felt this in his conscience, but he couldn't decide one way or the other, but he certainly never gave in to the call to repentance. Much like we hear about in the book of Acts about Herod Antipas' nephew, Agrippa, he was almost persuaded. In the book of Acts, we're told that Agrippa, when he heard St. Paul preach, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Well, almost Antipas was persuaded to repent by St. John the Baptist. But almost doesn't count. It counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, as the saying goes, but it doesn't count when it comes to the spiritual life. Almost is not good enough. Then one day he threw himself a birthday party. He made a supper, we're told, for his lords, high captains, and the chief estates of Galilee. And then Salome, who was the daughter of Herodias, the daughter from his brother Philip, danced. This was not normal behavior for someone from a royal family. This was shameless behavior, but she had learned from her mother to be a shameless person. And also, it should be noted that not only was this woman Herod Antipas's stepdaughter now, but she was both his niece and his great-niece at the same time, because so entwined was this family connection. And yet, he clearly lusted after this woman, so he had an incestuous relationship with his unlawful wife and was desiring to have an incestuous relationship with his stepdaughter, niece, and great-niece all at the same time. And also, after she danced, when he made the promise that he would give her whatever she asked, swore with an oath, and said that he would give her whatever she asked up to half of his kingdom. Some people think that that was actually a marriage proposal, because usually half of someone's kingdom, when you're the king, would be the half that you would give to your wife. She could have asked for anything up to that point, that quite a bit of riches were available to her at that point, but instead she went to her mother, and her mother told her to ask for the head of St. John the Baptist. And she wanted to make sure that her husband wouldn't weasel his way out of this later on. So she said, make sure that you make it clear you want his head now brought to you on a platter. And so the king didn't want to do it, but because he feared the opinions of all those people that were at his party, we're told that he gave word to the executioner to go and behead St. John the Baptist, and that his head was brought on a platter and given to Salome. We know that Herod's conscience troubled him, because at the beginning of this reading, we're told that when he heard about Christ, he believed that it was St. John the Baptist risen from the dead. He was troubled by St. John the Baptist. He was haunted by the memory of what he had done, because he knew that it wasn't right. We run into Herod Antipas one more time in the Gospels, and that's in the Gospel of Luke on the night of Christ's trial. When Pilate heard that Christ was a Galilean, we're told that he decided to try to see if he could pass the buck, because it just so happened that Antipas was in Jerusalem at the time. So he said, go ahead and send him to Antipas and let him try him. And we're told that when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. So again, Herod would have gladly heard Christ. He wanted to see some miracle that Christ would do, because he had heard about all the miracles that he had worked. But Christ didn't indulge him. He didn't answer him one word. And one thing that this tells us is that there is a day of repentance, but if we continue to reject God's offer of grace and mercy, at a certain point, God stops offering that to some people when their hearts are hardened. And then we're told that not only did Herod not just leave it at that, but that he mocked Christ, that he put a robe on him and mocked him, and his men also mocked him as well, and that he sent him back to Pilate. And we're told that Pilate and Herod became friends. They had quarreled up to that point, but because they were agreeing on the death of Christ, they became friends. We also celebrate another unhappy anniversary today. It's the 15th anniversary of the attacks on September 11th, 2001. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that that day happened on the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist. St. John of Shanghai was the founder of the cathedral in Washington, D.C. And when that parish was founded, he insisted that they name the parish for St. John the Baptist and celebrate their feast day on the beheading of St. John the Baptist. Well, as I reminded you last week, today is a fast day. It's always a fast day. There's never a day that you're going to celebrate this feast that it won't be a fast day. And most parishes that are dedicated to St. John the Baptist are going to celebrate his day on the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, because it's usually not a fast day, or maybe on the Synaxis of St. John the Baptist. He has quite a few commemorations through the year that you could celebrate that day, but St. John told them that if they didn't make that their patronal feast, that their parish would not prosper. And I note that this story is true and that it wasn't something that was concocted after the fact to try to connect it to the 9/11 attacks, because I remember hearing this story long before that happened. So I know that this story is true. And at the time that I heard it, it was just sort of, it's kind of interesting that St. John would be so insistent and make them have a fast day. Maybe he just wanted them to be more ascetic. But I think that he wanted our cathedral and our nation's capital to be dedicated to this feast because he was sending us a message that this was related to that attack and that this was a call to repentance. Because what is St. John most noted for preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The axe, he told people, is already laid to the root of the tree, and any tree that doesn't bear good fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. And when you say the axe is already laid to the root, that means the person's already got it ready, and he's ready to start hacking away at those roots and chopping down that tree. But there's an opportunity of repentance. Unfortunately, after 9/11, I recall that there was a brief spike where people were going to church and people were seeking God. There was more of an interest in religion. It was kind of like Herod hearing St. John the Baptist gladly. But it didn't last for very long. And where has our nation gone since then? Well, as a matter of fact, one of the things that our nation has done is it's thrown God's law out the window when it comes to marriage, the very thing that St. John the Baptist got beheaded for, pointing out in the case of Herod. We have redefined marriage in ways that are absolutely contrary to the law of God, even more so than Herod, something Herod wouldn't even have been able to imagine. So far have we turned away from God. We as individuals and we as a nation need to be aware of the fact that we can't have our cake and eat it too. We can't call ourselves Christians and do whatever we want. We can't live for ourselves and also say that we live for God. We can't make our own rules and say that we follow the law of God, and we certainly can't rewrite the law of God. We have to make a choice. We have to choose this day whom we will serve. But we as Orthodox believers, regardless of whatever anyone else in the culture may decide, have to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.